So you need the Bible. So if you don't have Bible, would you raise your hand so we can hand you the Bible? You got to be kidding me. Okay, everybody look at this man. He's our youth leader. Stephanie, you make sure he bring the Bible. He's a good sport. He can take it. Probably he'll pound me later after we finish. If you don't have a sermon outline, we hand out with the bulletins. If you don't have that, would you raise your hand, please? He has it. He has a sermon outline. He's ready for that. My wife does not have it. It's okay to have fun in the church. All right, let's start. Chapter 20 of the book of Exodus, if you're not familiar with the Bible, is the second book from the Old Testament. It's Exodus chapter 20. And we will start. Our modern world, there have been a major shift about morality. Over 63% of Americans reject the concept of a moral absolute. In other words, they believe that there is no such a thing as absolute right or absolute wrong. And they even say that lie can be accepted as if it can be justified. Among the prison inmates, this is something I learned during the 12 years prison ministry, that they have their own code of conduct toward another fellow inmate. They have this strict rule called, thou shalt not steal another prison inmate's stuff. If you steal that, they have their own justice system, lead pipe. And it's a very precise and it's swift, and there's no jury. They take care of their own. Funny thing is, a lot of them are in prison because of the same reason, because they steal, they murder, they other people take things away from the other people. But when it's taken away from their own, it's a different story. That is wrong. Yes, it's a twisted logic. We all have a mirror in our bathroom. And my wife's thinking, why are you showing our bathroom? At least I'm not sitting on it, okay? So our bathroom is kind of squashed. It's spread out. I didn't put it in the right format. There's a mirror on the top, and there's a water basin on the underneath. Mirror is there to show our blemish, our dirt. It does not, we cannot wash ourselves with a mirror. Try to do that. Squeak, squeak, squeak. It doesn't wash yourself. Wash you. However, we need a water basin and water to wash ourselves. The law is a mirror. It shows what kind of sinner we are. The water basin underneath is the altar where we can be washed. But this cannot be washed other than anything other than Jesus Christ's blood. And through this altar is a cross. That's what we are going to learn, the law and the altar in this chapter 20. See, we have to understand the law because it points us to that we are sinner and we need to be washed. Not just covered, washed away. All of our sin must be dealt with and cleansed. Otherwise, we cannot stand in the presence of God. So that needs to be done, and that's what we are going to study. So we have to understand, Ten Commandments is not do and don'ts. Yes, it talks about do and don'ts, but the bottom line is, Ten Commandments point us to Jesus. So we'll start at the verse 1. We will pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word we are about to receive. We are asking you to give us wisdom comes from Holy Spirit that we may understand your intention and your ways. Open our heart to receive and our heart to be changed according to your ways. And we pray for our troops around the world that they may be protected, they may be returned to their family safe and sound. And while they are out there in the time of difficulty, they may come to know Jesus. We also pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters around this community. And they may be also protected by you in your capable hands. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And some of you are thinking, why you pray for the cops and you pray for the firefighters every week? Well, because they are the ones who protect us. They deserve our prayer. That's why. Verse 1, and God spoke all these words and saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The foundation is clear. God is telling us that who he is and what he has done for us. So that means he has every right to tell us what to do, how to do, and we must obey. This Ten Commandments is divided into two sections. First 1 through 4 is relationship between God and us. However, from 5th through 10th, the relationship between us and myself and you, to one another, interaction with one another. So we'll start with the first commandment in verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. In this day, the days of ancient Israel, it was not very difficult for them to find the god of materialism known as Baal, B-A-A-L, Baal. Also, it's easy for them to find the goddess of sex, Ashtoreth, and other local deity or the idols. We also have this kind of gods still. They may not have a grotesque image or funny names, but we still have them. We have a god of materialism and goddess of sex. If you don't believe me, just watch TV. Within 30 minutes, I guarantee you will hear many times about sex, any sitcom, you name it. Any reality show, you name it, it will have it there. MTV is riddled with this suggestion for the sex. Materialism. All of us, let me rephrase that, all of us are governed by something or somebody. Remember, some of you, the silver-haired people, remember a guy named Bob Dylan? If you know him, you're old like me. Bob Dylan, one of his songs says, you got to serve somebody. Yes, you have to serve somebody, either you or God. If it's anything other than one true loving God, it's wrong. Nothing should come before God, and he is the only God we should worship and adore and follow. So we find the second commandment from verse 4. You shall not make for yourself carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in water beneath, underwater, or under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. I, underline next phrase please, I, the Lord your God, am jealous God. That needs to be underlined. Next phrase also needs to be underlined. Visiting the iniquities of fathers on the children of the third and fourth generation of, note the very next few words, of those who hate me. Verse 6, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandment. The second commandment prohibits making any type of image or statue that promote people to worship or pray to. See, it not only prohibits the idolatry regarding the false god, but also it deals with making an image of any creating things we might worship. Icons, statues. I heard a man who told me this actual thing. He told me that he buried St. Joseph's statue upside down in front of his house to sell his home fast. Folks, that little statue has nothing to do with the selling home. Absolutely nothing. It's God's will. Yes, I'm in the process of selling my home, but I'm not about to stick to the St. Joseph's statue in front of my home. Bless you. However, the second commandment does not forbid somebody's making the image of heaven things or the things that has, as long as it does not have any worship purpose. If it has nothing more than artistic purpose, God doesn't see anything wrong with it. And some of you are thinking, well, show me. I'm glad you're thinking that way. Exodus chapter 25 and 26, God told Moses to find and make the cherubim of heaven and the, on top of the ark of God. So you, as long as this the image is not aided, worship something else other than one true God, it's okay. Some churches tell, pray to the icons or statues, or whatever that the statue means for. Especially Roman Catholic. If you're a Roman Catholic, no offense to you, but some of the things they practice is wrong. And let me tell you why. Roman Catholic Ten Commandment is different than this commandment you find it from the Bible. Why? Because you don't find this second commandment in the Roman Catholic Ten Commandment. What they do, they completely eliminate the second commandment and they split the Tenth Commandment into two. To promote the praying to icons and praying to the statues. Is it right? No, absolutely not. You worship God, you pray to God, not somebody else, not somebody, something. You understand me? So follow God, not some denomination or some church doctrine. How can this be that we hear that God is a jealous God in verse 5? Does it mean he has a jealousy? He's throwing temper tantrum if we worship any other God other than him? No. God's jealousy is love in action. God's jealousy is love in action. He knows that very fact that once we start to depend on or to worship any other gods, our mortal life is literally on the line. So, listen please. God is not jealous of us, but rather God is jealous for us, because he loves us. It's love in action. I ask you also on the line, the visiting the iniquities of fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, in verse 5. It sounds like a God is a very vindictive and cruel person. So the one's ancestor did wrong, so he's going to punish the rest of the generation because of that. It sounds awful. No, that's not what it meant. I ask you to note the four words, those who hate me. A lot of times, if the father is alcoholic, a son learns how to be alcoholic, because that's what they see. If the father is a drug addict, the sons learn to be drug addict, because they follow the suit. It's not by somebody else's making them do it. They make their own choice. Listen, please. Pay attention here. God will stop this punishment right at the spot. If the people, the second and third generation, if they follow God, God will stop this punishment. But if the younger generation continue to hate God, the punishment will continue because punishment does not go from one generation to another generation, but rather it goes from generation, dealing with one generation, dealing with another generation. You follow me? Some of you might have heard the generational curse theory, theology. That is simply out of context. This is what they're based on, but it's the wrong theology. God is not that cruel. God is loving God, and God deals with each one of us individually. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You shall not take the name of the Lord your... I just read it.
Duh.
Right? We can break this commandment in three ways. Number one, vulgar. Number two, frivolity. Number three, hypocrisy. Let's take one at a time. Vulgar. Some people use God's name in vain by using his name as a blasphemy or cussing word. Some people use God's name in superficial way and careless way. That's a frivolity. Thirdly, people use God's name in vain because they say something, but still they do the wrong things. That's a hypocrisy. We all know what the first one means, vulgar. If you're using God's name in vain because you're God's name as a cussing word, stop, please. I suggest you stop. Some of you might be born again, some of you who are using God's name in vain might be born again Christian. If you love God, you are born again Christian, why do you use God's name in vain? Why do you use that name, that precious name, as a cuss word? Frivolity. Some people say the word without thinking, like, oh my God, oh God, as a common dialogue. That is the name of God. That's the title of God. If you've been using, I strongly suggest you not to use it. Hypocrisy, you guys already know. Some of you, again, using, not actually using cussing word, but they're using similar word. Instead of using our Savior's name, they say Jiminy Christmas. It sounds like, you know what? Why is it necessary to even use that word? If you really have to cuss, Satan, whatever it, or Allah, or Big Fat Buddha, use somebody else's name, not God's name. Okay? If you notice that all the cuss words using God's name, not something else. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day that to keep it holy. 6 days that you shall labor and do all your work. But 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gate. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in it. Rested the 7th day, and therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Hallowed means honored and holy. The word Sabbath means rest. The origin starts from God's creation. He created the heaven and earth and everything in between for 6 days. On 7th day, he rests. Is it because he needs rest? No, to show us example. Sabbath is a special gift between God and Israeli people. When Jews observed the Sabbath, that was a testimony, that was a witness to the pagan neighbors around. Because to the pagan neighbors, all every day is the same, even the same 7th day. But however, to the Jewish people, they stop on that day, on the 7th day, stop and they worship God. So they made that day to be special. However, this Sabbath was also ruined by their own Jewish people and especially Pharisees and scribes. Let's start with the first one. Jewish people supposed to, not only the seventh day they rest, and seventh year they supposed to not using the land to cultivate or harvest on that particular land. But they ignored that for 490 years. So God said, okay, if you want to not obey my word and ignore my command, for so every seventh year you're supposed to give a land break, but since you didn't there 490 years, guess what? You're going to be out of country and leave this country vacant for 70 years. And for 70 years, they were in exile in Babylon. God means what he means. Pharisees and scribes, these people added 39 forbidden things that people cannot do on the day of Sabbath. You cannot pick up anything and carry it to the anywhere. However, for women, they can tie a knot on the girdle, but the guys cannot tie a knot, but they can stick it around their neck and carry it, because that's not labor. It's the kind of stupidity things they're dividing the fine lines. That kind of thing made the Jewish people, the Sabbath, become more burdensome than restful. Some cults demand that the Christians are required to rest on celebrate or have a service on Saturday rather than Sunday. Christians are having a service like we are on Sunday because the Sunday is a day of resurrection, not Sabbath. Folks, listen up. Sabbath was fulfilled by God. We are resting in God. It was fulfilled. It was a purpose being met, so we don't have to be concerned about it. According to Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 14, let's go there. Romans chapter 14, verse 5. Jesus is our rest. So this Sabbath thing has been fulfilled, and while we are living in the age of grace, we don't have to worry about it. Verse 5 in chapter 14. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. For you, Saturday, normally for you, the Saturday and Sunday is a day off. That's the day of rest. For me, Saturday is long, long day. From early in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, I study. And Sunday is my work day. For me, my day off is Monday and Tuesday, but a lot of times I go out to do ministry things on Tuesday. So Monday is my pretty much day off. So each day is different. We should not demand other people to take any particular day rest. If we start to do that, that's become legalistic. Fifth commandment, we find in verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your day may be long upon the land in which the Lord your God is giving you. In the world of worship and imitation for youth, they celebrate, well, youth is a thing. That's why people talk and pull on their face and they tighten the head and put the things on their face that is not real. Because to them, youth is important. Folks, that drives another bad thing. Assisted suicide, also known as euthanasia. Getting rid of, eliminating unwanted old people. How would you like to be that unwanted old people? And where is the guarantee that you are not going to be the next one? And where do they draw the line that unwanted is one of your loved ones? In Sweden, they have this euthanasia is legal, and doctor can pretty much tell who can live, who can be killed. Doctor, all of a sudden, they have a little authority to kill people. If the doctor decides that this person is unfit for society, that person can be gone. Is that right? Who has a right for a person to live or not live? God, not you, not me, not some doctor. Next commandment is verse 13, sixth commandment. You shall not murder. Liberals, you know, you can tell the way I say liberals, you can tell I love the liberals. Liberals use this particular verse to oppose the war against other country, or they use it against the capital punishment, the execution. Number one, this, even though they have nothing to do with following the Bible, but they will use this to make their point. And at the same time, they are the one who are for abortion, which is murdering innocent babies for the sake of convenience. They said that you shall not murder, so the execution is wrong and the fighting against the other country is wrong. Number one, they are not putting it in context. This whole Ten Commandment is about individual, not nation. Number two, the nation is given authority to take care of the people who are taking other people's lives. The commandment, you shall not murder, is not given to nation, it was given to individual. Remember that. And the capital punishment, I know some of you are very much against it, but it is biblical. It is the consequences of those who choose to make that decision to take somebody else's life. Next commandment. Seventh commandment is verse 14. You shall not commit adultery. God allows no justification. God allows no justification for the ways that many people often seek to justify extramarital adultery. We try to make it sound like an affair. It's something, you know, fancy. And nowadays, having a sex with somebody's wife or somebody's husband is, well, ain't that cool. And even some people even watch them, even Christian, watch the movie. It's a romantic movie, but they're having an extramarital adultery relationship with somebody's wife or husband, and they say, well, it's so romantic. They love each other. Hogwash! That is wrong. That is adultery, folks. In Greek word, the adultery is a porneia, where we get the pornography. And that is a rather broad span of the meaning, including fornication. That means sex before marriage. That is wrong. Outside of marriage, sex is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. Which part of it wrong, people don't understand. Because of that, Rosie O'Donnell, who make that kind of stupid comment, because she is a gay lesbian, and she is absolutely against Christian. And she compared the radical Christians like a radical Muslim terrorist. I thought, if you don't like this country, go somewhere and live there. Probably you'll do more damage than our bomb can do. Galatians 5:19, please. Bible clearly condemns adultery. 5:19. Galatians 5:19, please. Does it mean those who have a extramarital adultery and fornication cannot be forgiven? I didn't say that. God never said that. If somebody come to God with an honest heart and ask God to forgive them, God forgive and forget and no longer remembers. That's the kind of God we serve. Verse 19. Now the work of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, boast of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelry, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I think it's rather clear, don't you think? Folks, this commandment, Jesus elaborates a little more. He said here is the do not commit adultery is a physical side, but in the New Testament, we are told to stand a higher level. Even the thinking itself, if we lustfully think about other people, if man is lustfully looking at a woman and a woman looking at a man lustfully, that itself is the same thing as committing adultery. As a born-again Christian, we are standing a higher, we have to follow the higher standard of Jesus Christ. We are not innocent because we didn't make it into the action. Thinking itself is bad. Next commandment is the eighth commandment, and we find in verse 15, you shall not steal. Whether a person steals the one paper clip or the $10 million from embezzled the $10 million from the company, stealing is stealing. What about goofing around during the work times? Standing around the water fountain and chatting, and instead of a 15-minute break, goes on to the 1.5 hours. I've seen some of my former co-workers, they go out having a cigarette break every hour, and they stand out there for 20 minutes, go through about 3 or 4 cigarettes. I thought, I don't smoke, so I sit here working my butt off, and then you out there and enjoying your every hour break? Is that fair? No, it's not fair. Folks, if you're goofing around, goofing off at your workplace, that is the same thing as a stealing because you're getting paid for that time. What about this? We might steal something from God. God told us very clearly we are supposed to depend on Him. According to Malachi chapter 3, we're supposed to bring the financial resource to Him. But if you are not doing that, you are stealing from God. Am I saying that because we need money in our church? How often do we promote about money? When was the last time we passed the offering basket around here to get money? I'm not asking you to give money to us. But I'm asking you to give money to God so that He can expand the kingdom of God through your money. Does God need your money? No, He doesn't. But it's an expression of your faith. If you're not doing it, I highly recommend you to do it. Same thing. God gave you time, certain amount of the lifespan in your life. Close friend of mine, Tony Guillen, some of you guys know him, who used to come down here to lead the worship while our worship leader, Mark Trudeau, is gone on vacation or was like that. He came down to fill in for him. Wednesday morning, he was riding a bicycle and he had a heart attack and he dropped dead. Before he hit the ground, he died. We just had a memorial service for him yesterday. You don't know how long you're going to live. While you have that certain amount of span of life, serve God. Serve the body of Jesus Christ. If you are not doing it, guess what? You are stealing the time God allowed you to have. Be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. I know some of you just come here and go Sunday morning. Have nothing to do with helping other people. You're missing out blessing. I'm not condemning you, but I'm telling you this. You're missing out blessing of serving others. Get involved. And you may say, well, this is my first time. I'm not asking you to be a part of it yet. Yet. But if you've been coming here more than a few times, and just side story, some of you are wondering, does Calvary Chapel of Sarita have a membership? No, we don't have a membership. If you come more than once, it's your member. If you no longer come, you're no longer a member. We don't go through that. We don't care how much you make. It's between you and God, so we are not concerned about that. We want you to serve God with your all of your heart, mind, and soul, and body. That way you get blessing. We want you to learn from the Bible how to be a servant for God. Because our Jesus Christ is servant king. He came to serve, not to be served. Ninth commandment. You shall not bear the false witness against your neighbor. Speaking the truth and honoring promise is the cement that holds the society together. To tell a lie in the court is a crime. Isn't it true? To tell a lie, the false witness, false testimony is a perjury, known as perjury. I just cannot understand how a president of the United States commit this crime, perjury, and he still held the presidency and the office, and he retired with a big, fat, fancy retirement that pays by your tax money, my tax money. How come he get by with the perjury, the crime, and somebody, if you and I do that kind of thing, we'll be in the jail so fast our head's going to swim. Our American judicial system heading down south so fast. Next, well, I'm sorry, I got up on that kind of thing. As a Christian, we're supposed to speak the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth for God's glory. 10th commandment, verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor male servant, nor females, his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Last nine commandments deal with the action, what they do. This deal with the heart, talking about covetousness. Straight from the heart and the desires. Then once the person starts to covet something or someone that is not his, that person will do just about everything to achieve that thing. We need to, listen carefully, please, we need to be content with what God allowed us to have. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Because we learn to be content. If you are not content, and even if you have all the things in the world, you are still lacking, feel like you are lacking something. There's no limit if you're not happy with what you have. Jesus gave a stern warning about the covetousness, and which explains the core philosophy of the covetous heart. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Luke is located in the third book of the New Testament. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And some of you are thinking, aren't you going to shut up? No, I'm not. I only finished half, so stay with me. No, I'm just kidding. 12:15. And he said to them, take heed and be aware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in abundance of the things he possesses. That is against materialism. All right, some of you are thinking, are these Ten Commandments still valid today? Yes, absolutely. Everything, including Sabbath, because it was fulfilled by Jesus Christ himself. Ten Commandments showed it, as I said before, what God's telling us, his standard. And it's a mirror. It shows our blemish. It shows our dirt. It points us that we are sinner and point us to the altar, where Jesus Christ became a sacrifice. His precious blood washed away our blemish, our sins, our iniquities. So I can say comfortably, Ten Commandments is grace etched in stone. Jesus Christ sums up the Ten Commandments in two commands. Let's go to Matthew 22:37. Matthew 22:37. By the way, Robert, do you see the page number? You can find that thing from there. Jab, jab, jab. He's going to hurt me so bad. Probably I deserve that one. 37. Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and with all. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like, you shall love your neighbors as yourself. If you follow these two commandments, you fulfill the Ten Commandments. If you fulfill the Ten Commandments, you will fulfill every single law in the world. Because every single law is based on Ten Commandments. Let's continue in verse 18 of chapter 20 in Exodus. Now all the people witnessed the thundering and lightning flash and the sounds of a trumpet and the mountain smoking when the people saw it, and they trembled and stood afar off, and they said to Moses, You speak with us and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, note that, stood afar off. But Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. This impressive display of God did not draw the people close. Rather, they chose to stand far away from God. How many people in today's world choose to stay far away from God? Because they rather have somebody talk to them and have God to speak to that person and speak to them. Why? There is no mediator other than Jesus Christ. Why not meet God in your own way? You can do that very easily every day through this book, the Bible. This is the voice of God. Hear from Him. Learn to recognize His voice. And you speak to Him. Verse 20. 22. And the Lord said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, You have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me, God of silver or God of gold. You shall not make for yourselves. An altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you, and I will bless you. And if you make on me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For you, if you use your tools on it, you have profaned it. Nor shall you go up by steps on my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. God is not expecting for us to come up with a fancy worship and praise. But He is expecting us to have a sincere heart with a sincerity. He wants our heart, not how much we can show off. Let's make applications. Number one, don't close your Bible yet. As soon as I said, let's make an application, people say, okay, I'm done. No, we are not done. Trust me, we are not done. God's commandments are for us to keep and obey. They are not something we can negotiate or ignore. Somebody wise enough to say this, This is 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions. If we do that, we will face the consequence of our own ignorant choice. Second application. Our personal relationship with God needs to be cultivated through our own effort. Let's go to James 4:8. I told you, we are not done yet, right? James 4:8. James is located right after Hebrews. Right before the 1 Peter in the New Testament. James 4:8. How do we cultivate our relationship with God? Here's the answer. Draw near to God. What does he say? He will draw near to you. Draw near to him, he will draw near to you. Hebrews, one book before, Hebrews 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11 6. What kind of God we serve? He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder. If you seek him, he will reward you for seeking him. Okay? Third application. God is not expecting us to fancy our worship or praise outwardly, but with a sincerity. He wants our heart. Not how we can show off. So praise him from your heart. Worship him from your heart. Don't try to impress the people next to you. Try to impress him. Let's stand up and pray.